Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome back. Live in this league with Bogman and the Welsh. That's us. We're so happy to be here. Right, hon?
How about you?
It's my favorite line of all time. It's amazing, too, that that line happened in a non-ITL context. It happened on the Fantasy Black Book show we do on Fantrax. My favorite moment of all time where you just forgot the names of the people we were talking to and Bogman didn't even point, dictate to the person, like, let me ask this person the question and then go, here, just ask the question, someone answers, and then you go, what about you?
Okay, so yeah, we had these two guests on. They had similar voices, and this is the first time we'd ever had them on. And I'll ask a question and let whoever wants to answer first answer.
Instead
and I realized I made that big mistake because I didn't know who was talking. So I didn't know which was which. And then instead of being a normal person, and as soon as the other person stops talking, the next person starts talking, there was this gap of silence. And I was like, come on, just start up your thing. And then nothing. So I had to lead the discussion. So I said, how about you?
And what was going on in your mind in that moment?
I was watching the Rockets game. I got to be honest. The Rockets were on while we're doing that. And I was deep diving into James Harden, making some shots.
Crazy.
And of course, we know now that he didn't. Because the Rockets are no longer in the NBA playoffs. And, it was just that's why I didn't get a good grasp on whose voice was who and that stuff. I did apologize to the guest that we had on then. And
they never acknowledged it either. I don't think either. Right?
No, I mean, they got stuff going on. So in that, like, you know, life stuff. So that's fine. Whatever.
What about you?
I apologize for my mistake. That's all I can do. So,
Look at you. You're like on the apology tour. You're like, I'm sorry I did meth and I just want you back in the NBA.
I never did meth. No.
Sorry I drank at the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry I did meth. I drank at the lottery and I went to that massage parlor in Florida. So, sorry for all those things.
You know who?
Sorry.
You know who could use maybe your apology training? Might be little Tony Robbins. I don't want to get too much into it because. Tony Robbins in the hot water. I played you that audio.
The audio, what Tony Robbins was saying, when was that? Was that this weekend?
I don't know. They said they obtained, it was like 50 minutes of.
50?
Yeah, it's hard to tell if it was a big room. Because Tony Robbins is like the motivational speaker. I mean.
Tony Robbins.
He's got the big horse teeth and. But you know, I feel like people can confuse Tony Robbins with, who's the Houston pastor? What's the guy?
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen, right. But like Tony Robbins was in, what was that movie with Jack Black?
Yeah, Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal. So like he's been in there. Like Tony Robbins is like.
Shallow Hal, how's it go?
Like everybody loves Tony Robbins. Like freaking, I was listening, you hear the Kevin Hart interview on Joe Rogan a while back? Like all Kevin Hart could talk about was his love for Tony Robbins. Like they're best friends and he's like, oh, Tony Robbins. So nobody's put over Tony Robbins more than Kevin Hart.
It seems like Kevin Hart and Tony Robbins have the same feeling about women.
Yeah. Not a great look. Yeah. So Tony Robbins in a little bit of hot water right now for some stuff he said, potentially maybe sitting around rooms naked and having people work around him and a bunch of other accusations.
What I call that? I call that the Louis CK right there.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't go full Louis. He didn't
lock him.
Yeah, well, he didn't like the act, the Louis act that he likes to do. He
right, just, yeah.
You know.
Old-fashioned Louis. That's what we call him.
Old-fashioned, yeah. So Tony Robbins is a little bit of stuff right now. I don't know what that means about anything, but I just saw it and I was like, well, this is not very motivational.
It is motivational, actually.
Is it?
It motivates me to never say anything like that to someone. I go, you know what? If Tony Robbins can get caught saying something like this, maybe if I have a thought like that, I'll just shut my mouth. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things. You don't have to make your own mistakes every time. You can learn from other people's
mistakes. Let other people make them?
Yeah, let other people make the mistakes and learn from their mistakes. Okay. That's what smart people do.
Tony Robbins is full of those. So if you want to check into that, you can read all of the ridiculousness. I think he even did a statement. So we don't need to go all of there. More mistakes? How about maybe the greatest NFL story of the offseason? It's not the draft. It's not any of the I'm trying to think what other good stories have there been in without this one.
Not too much. It hasn't been. I mean, it was AB versus Juju and AB versus Roethlisberger and AB versus Steelers.
Yeah.
So there was that was
lots of AB.
Your entire offseason was AB acting like a jackass.
How about this one maybe you talk about, but did you see the Odell Beckham and Colin Cowherd one?
Yeah, I like that. It's
pretty good.
I hate the fact that I'm liking Brown statements, you know, that the Cleveland Browns are making, but I have hated or not hated, but disliked the brand of stuff that Colin Cowherd has done for a long time. It's just contrarian. The only time I was like, well, Colin Cowherd really made sense was when Jim Harbaugh was on a show acting like a psychopath.
Yeah. So.
Outside of that, I don't think I've agreed with much that Colin Cowherd has said ever. So I do like the fact that Baker Mayfield's gone after him. And, you know, it was Colin Cowherd that was saying that Odell wasn't very happy to go to Cleveland.
Yep.
And he had heard from sources. And I like that Odell and Mayfield are huge teammates and teaming up in their hatred.
Oh, it's a tag team. It's a total tag team. Yeah. Well, Colin Cowherd, what he did was he did the top 10 moments of Odell Beckham's career, according to Cowherd. And he picked up some of the bad ones. So Odell quote tweeted and he goes, now you've gone too far. He says, bro, I understand nobody listens to your show, but stop using my name to get clout, bro. I let you say and do whatever you want, but you've gone too far now. So here's the attention you wanted and desperately needed. I see. I had respect for you after talking on the PH. I don't know what that means. But
Pizza Hut.
The what?
Pizza Hut.
Oh, the pizza. Oh, clearly it's the pizza.
Of course.
No, Domino's. All right. Maybe combo Taco Bell Pizza Hut.
Taco Bell.
Yeah,
that's right.
That'd be good. But then Odell shared, he did the bit. He did the classic bit. He shared the DMs. He shared some DM action of him and Colin Cowherd. And Colin was like, I'm just so happy for you and all this stuff. So again, those are great. Still not it. It's still not the best drama of the offseason. The biggest mistake of the offseason. It's everything that we live for. What it is what John Clayton broke down for us. According to John Clayton, NFL on Le'Veon Bell. Quote, if there's a suitor, I could absolutely see the Jets trading him before the start of the season because rumor came out that Adam Gase not only wasn't a fan of Le'Veon Bell, he really didn't want the Jets to sign Le'Veon Bell. They did anyways. And guess what? Those guys happen to be gone from the organization right now. So old googly eyes wants and does not want Le'Veon Bell. And that was one thing, because then there were some reports out there, Bogman, that were like, oh, Le'Veon Bell and Adam Gase are talking daily. And it was like, okay. And then John Clayton drops this bomb on us that if they found a suitor, they would trade him this season.
Yeah, and before the season starts, so he wouldn't even play a down in a Jets uniform. So, I actually heard about this because Tony Pauline, one of the draft experts that I listened to, was he was talking about this, that there came reports that Mike McCagnan, I believe his name is, the former GM now of the Jets, and Adam Gase were having some sort of internal struggle as far as what it said. He said that Gase didn't like some of the free agent acquisitions that McCagnan had made, and I didn't put two and two together, because how could you dislike someone signing Le'Veon Bell for your team?
Well,
There
were some interesting comments I saw where Gase was talking about, like, first off, not wanting to spend big dollars on a running back. And, you know, for him, I think what they look at is, you know, it's going to hinder him long term because they don't want that type of money invested. Then beyond that, I guess Gase actually wanted Tevin Coleman because Tevin Coleman fits his system better, where Le'Veon Bell does not fit the system of a running back that he wants to run. So that's really, so not only is it just like, hey, philosophically, I don't want to spend money on running backs. It's like, no, this guy also doesn't fit the system that I want to run. And if he doesn't fit the system and it costs a bunch of money, this is a recipe for disaster and potentially my job in a couple of years.
And so so they fired McCagnahan, and the next day he traded Darren Lee to the Jets for a sixth round, or to the Chiefs. They are the Jets, to the Chiefs for a sixth round pick. So he made no, I mean, there was no transition or anything. He was ready to go. Clearly, he kind of knew this was going to happen, and he went right after it. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell's not Antonio Brown. And yes, he sat out for the whole season. There was some rift between him and the organization before the playoff game in 2018 against Jacksonville from the 2017 season, where he showed up like 30 minutes before the game started or whatever, and the Steelers got their ass kicked in that game by the Jaguars, and that was it for him. And, you know, while I don't agree with him sitting out the whole year to get his contract and all that stuff, $16 million he could have wound up making last year, he's free to do whatever he wants. And he has said on Twitter, he's like, look, you know, I'm not going to buy into anything being said because there have been stories written about me that weren't true. So I thought that was a fairly mature response for Le'Veon Bell for this whole thing. And he said, but even if it is true, I'm just going to work as hard as I can and do whatever I can to make the Jets better. So I thought that was actually a measured response, and we would never get something like that from Antonio Brown. But,
well, Lev's got his money now. Lev's good.
Well, yeah, he's fine now. He's all level-headed, so.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's why I don't understand guys like Matt Barnes and these guys. You get your money, everything is right. Your head's right.
I thought it was funny that they're considering Daniel Jeremiah for the gig, the guy who works for NFL Network, yeah, and he has the podcast Moving the Sticks and all that stuff. Because if I'm Daniel Jeremiah or I'm anyone considering this GM job, it's not really anything. You don't get to do anything. Adam Gase is going to do everything. He's clearly power hungry, and he wants to do whatever he wants for the team. So you don't really get anything.
Adam Gase reminds me of, like, he's like Mr. Manhattan from Watchmen, because he can see everything. Those eyes are so big. He's like, I can see all outcomes. I am the GM. He's Mr. Manhattan.
He's the three-eyed raven.
Yeah, sure. There you go. That
he's
too.
Trying to be three-eyed. By
he's Bran.
How,
he's essentially Bran.
Yeah, he's trying to be the three-eyed raven by how wide he opens his eyes, but he still only has two of those things. Yeah, so,
like, what are you doing, Adam? He's like, I'm looking into the future.
Like, oh, all right, let me ask you this. With Le'Veon Bell, he doesn't his head coach didn't want him and is saying that he doesn't fit the system. But we know that Le'Veon Bell has been incredible when he's played. So what are you doing with him as far as his draft value goes?
Trading him to the 49ers for Tevin Coleman.
Oh, you would love that, wouldn't you?
Make dreams can come true. Do that.
Make the Niners great again.
You know, you know what would be interesting about that? I'm actually really, like, 49ers are going to be an absolute disaster running back-wise in fantasy, because they were just talking today that all three running backs, Breida, Coleman, and McKinnon, are all going to have significant roles, is what they said. Not like, you know, hey, Breida's going to be a great spell to our two top running backs. No, all three, the plan is of a three-headed monster, which I look at as, I'm like, whoa, what? Let's bring in Le'Veon Bell. It would either, A, they would move to the main guy, or B, can you imagine Le'Veon Bell in a share situation like that?
No.
Incredible.
And that's why I think that Gase is so pissed, is because you don't spend money like that. You don't spend money like that without giving this guy the ball. So what are you doing with him? Because right now,
firing him. Gase.
Bell. I agree with firing Gase. I would not be.
It's the most Jets thing ever for, like, this is how they.
The GM hired this guy. GM hired this coach, and the coach got him fired. It's insane.
It's crazy.
So Le'Veon Bell right now, I'm just looking at half point PPR. He is seventh at running back. It goes Saquon, Zeke, McCaffrey, Kamara, Gordon, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. So
who's
I know
behind him? Gurley's behind him.
Gurley's immediately behind him. You're taking Gurley ahead of him, right? Easy.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say,
especially as like I've been the defender of Gurley, but it's all about like as slowly as we get better news, it becomes so much easier. And I'm taking all the guys you said. I'm taking above him, by the way.
Yes, me too. Right. James Conner is after Gurley at 9. James Conner or Le'Veon Bell?
I'd probably take Le'Veon.
Okay.
But perfect example is I just did a super flex mock. John Lobb hosted it. Is on Fantrax, actually hosted it, but John Lobb was putting it together if you guys want to see it. Piece of PA, I'm trying to remember who all was in it. But a bunch of dudes were in it, and it was super flex, and I had the 11th pick. And I think Lev Bell went the pick before me. And Lev Bell went 10. I took James Conner at 11.
Okay. So you have them close to each other at least.
Yes, exactly. I would have taken Lev if he were there, but I just easily took Conner right after.
Joe Mixon is after Conner. Bell is over Mixon or Mixon over Bell?
No, I'm taking Bell over Conner and Conner over Mixon.
Okay. So then according to the Fantasy Pros break here, it's just it's the next tier down, and those guys are like Chubb, Cook, Mack, Fournette, Aaron Jones, Michelle, Damien Williams, Derrick Henry, all those guys after, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they've got Devontae Freeman down here at 19. That's kind of low.
I do think that is low. I'd be hard pressed. Like, if Gase is stuck with this, like, okay, I think here's the better question, and let me because I think we've already determined like where we're at with him. I think we're both in the same general vicinity of like right around Conner. Maybe right above. So I think that kind of tells you where it is. I think here's a bigger question. Let's talk about this on the other side of the break, because we have got a actual break coming up. Is that what is the more likely situation for Adam Gase? Is he going to relent and have this dominant main running back, a guy that doesn't fit his system, and acclimate his system to the running back? Or is it more likely that he actually says, screw this, it's a bad look, but I'm getting him off the team, and we are trading him? So, you know, rumors are out there. John Clayton says it. So let's talk a little bit more about that Le'Veon Bell talk when we come back right here on In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Don't you go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome to In This League.
I love you.
Ready to party!
We got some new merch, some swag over at InThisLeague.com. Technically, it's on our Teespring if you want to check it out. Both kind of at the baseball variety, even though we're not talking about that. But I've got the Prospects Assemble t-shirt. I'm very happy
Prospects
about that.
Prospects Assemble!
Prospect One t-shirt. That's my baseball minor league prospect show. It works for In This League Baseball as well. I'm very happy, and it's a fun design. And there is a tank top. There's a hoodie. There's the normal shirt. And somebody immediately thanked me. They're like, thank you for having fat guy sizes. And I was like, who do you think you're talking to, man? Of course. Of
who
course
do you think
do.
You're dealing with?
What are you talking about? They go up to 5X box.
Whoa, man.
I know.
Yeah, so I can buy some for current Scott and future Scott.
Future.
You know, current Scott doesn't give an F about future Scott at all. I can tell you that unequivocally, without any issue, that I am cursing past Scott a lot. I'm like, God, couldn't help yourself out here and do this instead? No, because past Scott had to just sit and do nothing. That's exactly why.
So what maybe the day that you're clicking on the 5X, you're going to be like, all right, let's change this.
Well, let's change stuff for future Scott. Yeah.
Diets assemble.
Diets assemble. Yeah. Because future Scott may not be around so much longer, is what I'm saying.
Well, what a perfect transition to tell you about the other shirt we have. It's the Boggs Jr. American Thick Burger. It's the Scott Bogman logoed Carl's Jr. based type shirt. We don't even want to say them because I don't want
to Jag.
Yeah, that's our boy Jag. He created it. Totally not the Carl's Jr. logo at all. Not in French.
No, nothing
like that. But, you know, redesigned in Bogman fashion to promote, you know, what you are doing. You are doing the Carl's Jr. Destroy yourself, win the Diamondbacks, lose thing. And the Twitter thing has been going great. You got hundreds and hundreds of likes and retweets on it. Every
Almost
time people
to
are
10,000 views on that first video.
Holy crap. So. All right. Yeah. So you're rolling on it. And so now you can get the Boggs Jr. sticker and a T-shirt. You can get that. Plus, we got the Prospects Assemble with the sticker and the shirt. And those are the newest in this league swag that we've got going on. Hopefully over the next couple, I want to redesign, you know, kind of get a whole new batch of stuff, maybe take some old stuff off, even though they're great. So we've got some great stuff on there. The Body by Cheeseburger, Body by Bourbon, all that stuff. We've got the Pitch Me Outside, but, you know, people aren't jumping on it. So maybe we need to take it away, maybe bring it back on occasion, you know?
I heard Braun bought two of those Pitch Me Outside shirts. I'm not sure. So.
Oh, really? I haven't seen them.
It's an inside joke. So,
oh, I don't get. Oh,
yeah. There it is. He gets it now.
I got it. Haven't been in the group me rooms, Bogman. Forget all the jokes. Forget the people.
Yeah, but you got that one. So yeah, you were there when that happened. Yeah. So.
I like Braun too. Braun on one of the AMAs. She's like, oh, I miss you there. I'm like, I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm here for all of you. Come on down. Come on down. But you guys can get the swag. InThisLeague.com. There's links to the store, but teespring.com/ ITL store. I don't know. Just go to InThisLeague.com and go check this stuff out. Go pick them up. Yeah, go pick them up. Whatever fat guy size you need to get. Whatever, you know, especially the Boggs Jr. one. So I love it that it's, you know, we're talking about Prospects Assemble and all that. And then let's go to the, you know, Boggs Jr. Nice fat shirt.
Yep.
People requested it, though. People wanted that shirt.
Oh, right. Our guy Ryan Spader better buy one. He's like, we're like, why do you like this so much, Spader? He's like, because Boggs is going to die.
How many people, so-called friends have we had that we've done shows with that
it's
have
hilarious. He's going to have a stroke.
I've literally just insulted you to your face. Some way we don't have on our show anymore. Some friends when Brewski, I mean, Brewski just laid into you, Aaron Brewski from Hoopball.
Rotund, I believe.
Called you rotund.
The word. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Spader just laughed about you dying.
Right. Exactly. Well, this is, you know. None of this is going to help my eating habits. Is all I'm going to say. So.
No, we're gonna have the ITL branded noose soon.
not today, old friend.
Not today, old friend. That's the best one. So, all right. So when we went to break before we were plugging things, I brought up the idea of maybe the bigger question with stupid Adam Gase, and it's twofold. What's the more likely outcome? Because you know, maybe there's some preemptive action people in dynasties or early drafts, there's already, you know, best balls going on and stuff like that, can take. And it's one of two things. Does Adam Gase, and maybe there's a third option you could throw in, but let's go with the two for a minute. Does Adam Gase relent and take this back that he's got, move his system away to saying, I don't need, you know, this type of a back, it doesn't fit my system. Maybe he wants a couple different backs to run in. Does he relent and go with a one workhorse back system with Le'Veon Bell and adjust because he's a little bit different to what he wants to run? Or do you think with this newfound control, does he make the active move that John Clayton talks about to say that if they can find a way to do it, they would already move him? Already.
This is tough because I don't think that you're going to find too many. There's plenty of teams that could use Le'Veon Bell. I just don't know how many are going to be able to afford him. Like the Dolphins would be great and the Bills would be a great fit, but they're both interdivision rivals. They're not trading him in the division.
But it is interesting just when you say the Dolphins, because Le'Veon Bell would probably love to play for Miami and Adam Gase just came from Miami.
Right, exactly.
But what do they have to trade? They don't have anything.
Well, whatever, a pick next year. That's fine. I mean, this isn't the NBA. The contracts don't have to match up.
Oh, ironically, it's weird to me. Cause what is that? Maybe I need to look here. They don't have any other running backs. Like, Gase also still needs guys. Like, what was mentioned, what I mentioned, was how, like, oh, Tevin Coleman, Roto World, the first thing is, bug eyes. was that a guy like Tevin Coleman was the perfect fit for this team. But we're now in a spot where the market has already kind of solidified itself. So, I mean, their current running back situation is Le'Veon Bell. You know what? They do have Ty Montgomery and Elijah McGuire. That's not great.
Trenton Cannon was fine last year. Like, I wouldn't call him good by any stretch of the imagination, but he's fine. And we know that LeSean McCoy is probably going to get cut before June 1st. I think if they cut him before June 1st, they save like $6 million or something.
Yeah, you're right about that.
The Bills, so they could sign him, and guys are going to get cut during camp. So running back is a cheap position to fill. It doesn't cost much.
So what's the more likely situation, though? Is it that he does? I mean, and I think the most obvious is he
Gase goes before Bell goes.
Wait, what?
I would say Gase goes before Bell.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
That's what I would say.
So do you think, if the trade scenario is not likely to you, which I do think it's a little far fetched. And
I mean, there's teams that need him. Like we said, the Texans could use a running back. I'm just trying to find teams that would fit here.
Well, I think there's plenty of teams that would fit.
Would you be surprised if the Raiders traded for him? I wouldn't. I mean, even after drafting Jacobs.
Would they trade Jacobs though?
Maybe that's Bell? The trade. Maybe it's Jacobs for Bell, straight up. But I think if that was the case, they would have signed Bell. They decided to spend their capital on, extending Antonio Brown. So
what I think you're dealing with, though, is I think you're dealing with extreme heavy speculation that's not of current news. And I think, Clayton's
Tampa
made some
Bay.
Headlines. Yeah, Tampa Bay would totally make sense.
Tampa Bay because Arians also. So
yeah, sure. You could trade like a Ronald Jones. So I think it's a lot of about nothing that's kind of actually going on here. And I think the New York Jets could stomach it, and the fans could stomach this type of a move. But then, here's the secondary part then. Is the first part of what I said is Gase relenting and having this complete workhorse. And maybe how I'm saying it is a little bit dramatic, but I'm saying, will he fully commit to adjusting his offense to working around Le'Veon Bell and having him be the absolute dominant workhorse, which he wants to be, has been, and has never been in really, at least in the last couple of years, hasn't been in a spot where he shares anything, even when James Conner was awesome. Or does Gase say, I don't care. He does exactly what he wants. He doesn't adjust the system. He doesn't try to work towards Le'Veon Bell's assets and also start sprinkling in guys like Ty Montgomery and Elijah McGuire. And all of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell is no longer a workhorse and maybe getting 19 carries a game. Which of those scenarios seems like the most likely to you?
That he doesn't work in Le'Veon Bell as much as he can. And then Le'Veon Bell becomes a problem, because just look at the situations that he's been in. He's been the Dolphins never could pick a guy between Gore and Drake and whoever else was there all year last year. The Bears in 2015, he's the OC there when they were switching between Howard and whoever else. And then he was with the Broncos from 2009 to 2014. And we know that the Broncos played musical chairs at running backs forever. Now, he wasn't the OC that whole time, but that's kind of what he was brought up in. And before that, it was the Niners in 2008, the Lions in 2007 through 2003 to 2007. He worked there. So it's just not something that Gase has ever really done. He's usually mixed in the running backs, which is why when I saw Le'Veon Bell go there, I was kind of like, man, I guess Gase is tired of looking for a running back. That was my first thought was, he's played musical chairs with these running backs so much, he must be sick of that. Now we come in here that, it's not the kind of player that he wanted at all. So it would make more sense to me for if Le'Veon Bell is not successful or as successful as he was in Pittsburgh, which I don't think he could be, even if they curtailed the offense to him anyway. I think that we're going to get a sprinkling of whoever else he decides that he likes behind Bell. And I think Bell's going to get frustrated. And this whole situation is going to go south very quick.
There's a couple of by the way, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros. They're always like looking at their ranks, especially early, because they can get a little wonky. And Le'Veon Bell is not a first round pick for them on their PPR rankings. Travis Kelce is a first round pick, 12 overall.
Yeah, I don't. No, it's not something I'm doing.
I mean, didn't we do this before? I'm not saying Travis Kelce doesn't do that, but didn't we do this bit with Jimmy Graham?
I think Travis Kelce is getting the big push because Patrick Mahomes is losing people left and right. Yeah. You know, yeah. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, all that stuff.
You
so
take, you take Travis Kelce in the top 15?
No.
I Kelsey's mean, I over James Conner in PPR? Antonio Brown? No way.
You know how I am with tight ends. I'm going to take someone on the, you know, I'm going to be the last guy to take a tight end and a quarterback. Like, my last four picks in my leagues are quarterback, tight end, defense, kicker. That's how it goes.
And that's super flex, man. I took Trey Burton in the second to last round. You know, maybe in the next segment, maybe we can take a look at that super flex draft. You can take a look at some of the, I took Trey Burton towards the very, very end of the draft, and I couldn't have been happier. I was like, this is great. Hey, Trey Burton with all one of the last picks in the draft. Why would I not be happy about that? I didn't spend
that's a great
a
pick.
Fourth round pick on a tight end. Or
you took too many
pick.
Rookies again when I saw it eventually.
I did?
But yeah, you take too many rookies.
On the bench.
You're like, yeah, but you can't have three rookies on your bench.
Well, I'm taking the value. But do you see my starting lineup, though? Well, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we'll get to that in the next segment. But I did look at it. I was just in a spot where I couldn't respond to you. And then we, you know, recorded 9 shows after that. And we didn't talk about it. So
I just wanted to save being a jerk to this show.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, man, you took too many rookies.
I
think you took three.
I don't know. I think you're
fairly
lying.
Certain.
We'll take a look at it. Well, none of them was Le'Veon Bell. I kind of wanted to get. So what I think is interesting, the more that we're talking about this, like now
he's
when I hone
go
in,
lower and lower, right? Now that we've talked about it, you're taking Connor.
Yeah. No, you're reading my mind here. I feel like the more that we're talking this out, because by the way, I just want to point out, like, I haven't gone through my major football process yet, even though like you have been. I mean, freaking. The Black Book is going to be out in a couple of weeks and you're in it. And, you know, I know you guys are doing a lot of that stuff.
I hope you guys are ready for some rookie profiles.
Yeah, you're not going to disappoint. I'm working through my process, but it's not defined. And this is what's good. This is what we like to do. I actually like to have these open conversations. And the more that we have it, like, because I wanted to ask you, hey, if Le'Veon Bell gets moved, there's so many scenarios that up his value that I think make him a no-brainer to go above even maybe some of the names we've talked about, like David John, you know, if Le'Veon Bell were to be like a Kansas City Chief, you know, we'd be trying to figure out, can we put him above Kamara, that type
right.
of stuff.
Yeah.
But
100%.
As I'm looking at this and I'm moving away from that question, I'm thinking to myself, well, if he's with the Jets, I'm actually thinking Gase is the biggest problem here. And there is so much uncertainty. I actually don't think I would take Le'Veon Bell now over James Conner. I think it's almost an assurance. And I think to myself as well, Bogman, I'm going to take the top 12 running backs on this list, just theirs, for instance. And it goes to Nick Chubb. So Chubb is at 12, Cook is at 11, Mixon is at 10, and then RB9 is Conner, and then down to the players you talked about. Is Le'Veon Bell the most or the biggest risk of the RB1s with the highest probability to disappoint again?
No, I would say that it's Todd Gurley at this point with the arthritic knee. So I
think it's super close, man. And I think there's three guys, Dalvin Cook, Todd Gurley, and Le'Veon Bell, that hold the biggest question marks of the RB1s. And I don't know, dude, I'm not sure Le'Veon Bell is that far off from Gurley or them, or doesn't already sit at the top.
I mean, he's definitely in that conversation. I would never argue against that because of this. I mean, you hate to hear this stuff where, you know, a good running back goes to a situation where, you know, we didn't play all last year and that was by choice. And we have enough problems with injuries. You know, Le'Veon Bell ruined two of my teams last year, you know, and I didn't have 20 teams last year. I think I had 10, which is a lot, but I took him with the first or second pick in two slow drafts before we knew all of this nonsense was going to happen with him. So he ruined two of my teams last year. So you'd think, if anyone, I mean, did you have any shares of Bell last year?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think I had one draft, luckily, that I was two and you took Bell one and I got Gurley, but that didn't work out on the back end. And then I had Bell in one other spot. I had him in two total because I took him in, I don't know if it was our PPR or even might have been one of our stand. I don't remember where it was, but I took him somewhere, that team, garbage. And then we had a keeper league where I had him and it absolutely destroyed my season. Of course, no way I could battle through it because I kept him and he was my first round pick.
Right. So, He has been a disaster, but I just think that Todd Gurley with the knee scares the crap out of me. It really does, because, you know, they drafted, they matched Malcolm Brown, they drafted Daryl Henderson. So I guess maybe if they would have really pushed to re-sign C.J. Anderson, maybe that's a bigger sign or something. But
yeah, the Malcolm Brown thing was like really minimal, and Daryl Henderson's you know, his investment was really low. Like what I think is funny,
a third round pick, it's not low.
Well, okay, it's not extremely high, if that's right. A better way to put it. Like, yeah, I agree, but that's an investment in a first or second round. I mean, look what we did with guys like Penny and Jones with where they're drafted. This is
yeah.
But I think the interesting thing about these two, because I don't disagree with what you're saying right now, is what we're going to have, though, is over the next 2 months, the gap between them is going to go in different directions. And I think it might be the opposite of what we're talking about right now. We're worried about Gurley. I think Gurley 100%. Separates himself. And Bell is a guy that we're more scared about, right?
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because as soon as we start to see Gurley go, he's going to spike up points.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about that Superflex draft we did. Really, really early one. Industry guys, I was in it, Superflex. So stick right around. We'll talk about it on the next segment.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, sir. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
Nobody.
ITO.
In honor of John Wick 3, Bogman.
That's right.
It's out.
My man Boban's in it.
Boban. That's right. You know, we have been pushing a lot of extra cool content over on our Patreon. If some people listening don't know, hold on, let me just tell everybody. We've been doing I think you might know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
We've been doing the Game of Thrones recap episodes. Some people might not have been happy about the last one because we weren't super happy about the episode, but whatever. But you have got the Game of we have the Secret Show 2 a month. We've been doing a recap of Game of Thrones. And another thing, we're experimenting with doing more, all of this, as long as, you know, we keep seeing people join the army and know that people like it, is we did a recap of Endgame, Avengers Endgame. We did a full talk on it. We've been talking about, what's the next movie we do? We should do John Wick 3. What if we can get people to pay for it? That's our favorite thing on the planet, is to just milk our listeners of their money for us to do things. What if we got them
to
pay?
It's got to be like the ticket and, you know, some snacks
here's the deal, a day off of work.
So,
well, no, not going to pay for the work. We'll figure it. Well, here's what we get. Our tickets paid for. We each get a candy.
What is this hour? You're going to go see it anyway. This is just for me.
Dude, no, absolutely not.
This is 100% all my money. At Bogman on Venmo. ScottBogman at gmail.com.
Don't do that.
On the PayPal.
Don't send this scumbag
send
your money. Here's what you do.
If you want me to go see John Wick, because I do not want to see it.
We have to see it together. We have to see it together. So both tickets paid for, candy, drink, and let's share a popcorn. Let's share it.
Yeah.
Put it in my lap.
You want the hole in the popcorn?
Yeah. So what is that like? It's like $40. I mean, well, with prices now, maybe. No.
Yeah.
No.
Send it to me.
You send it to the Welsh. I will take care of it, because this guy just wants to milk your money and go buy milkshakes at, I almost lost $100. I was really close, Bogman. I forgot where we were for a minute.
Right links on the sheet, you would lost $100 because you put up the wrong link. So
what link did I put up?
You put up the slow draft that we did, not the draft that we are going to go over here.
Yeah, I did.
The one with John Lobb. I'm looking at it right now, dude. I just pulled it up. It's the wrong one. It's ITL for slow mock.
Yeah, you're right. If that, when you're right, you're right. That's right. Okay, so here we go. I was wondering. I was like, oh, was RFP in this one? I don't remember that. So, yeah, you're right about that. So,
when did he start writing for Fantrax? I have no idea.
I'm just saying, if we can collect the funds, I mean, I agree with you. Let's get a little bit on top. Let's get a little bit of our time worth it, too. So, let's go a little over the 40. For sure. Let's milk our listeners as much as we possibly can.
To at Bogman on Venmo.
John Bogman.
Three.
You send it to me because I will make sure this happens. John Wick 3. I'm the purveyor of the John Wick. You send it to the Welsh, put a little on top, a little juice on it. We will go. We'll watch it together. We'll do some videos on it. And then we would do a full recap on our Patreon of John Wick 3. Who
better not be too early, the Welsh, because I will fall asleep.
It's going to have to. Yeah, we're not going to get those matinee prices with Bogman.
No, we're not. Because I'll be sleeping during the matinee because I'm so lazy and I never do anything.
Are very lazy.
That's right.
Bogman's like, can we go see the midnight showing? We're like, no, man. I'll be asleep.
That's the middle of my day right there.
I'll be up making prospects assemble t-shirts at seven people buy.
Now I can't go into the league because I'm not a member. Seven.
He still can?
No, he didn't make it publicly viewable. So
you'll just go over. No, Bogman, go to Lob's Twitter account. He has a picture of it up there.
Okay. All right. I'll
He's got a picture up there that you can do.
Red
that
Iron Skull 91. I know what it is. So yeah.
You do a show with John Lobb. I do. What is it called? The CFF?
It's College Fantasy Football on Campus on FanTrax. That's the one I do. I also do the individual defensive podcast talking IDPs with Gary Davenport.
And of course, College Fantasy Football podcast on In This League.
Blaze and I are going to be going over our season plans this weekend. So
very, very good. So I don't know how we organize it, but just hit my Twitter up and we'll see. And possibly my Venmo and we can set up the next big movie review, John Wick 3. Because if some people are not fully following the bit, they're like, why would he pay you to go see John Wick? Because first off, this SOB over here hates Keanu Reeves. For no reason, Keanu Reeves is like one of the best people.
It's because Keanu Reeves makes the same movie every single time. I've already seen The Matrix, therefore I've seen every John Wick movie, all of them. I've seen them all.
I will admit when Swearinger goes, what do you need, John? And he goes, guns. Like how he says it, and I'm like, all right, Keanu, you can find some range. He's just like, guns.
And I'm sure Keanu's going to be beating up Boban, by the way. Sure, that's going to happen.
He's going to smash his face in. So, but you actually had to be paid to see John Wick, I think, 2. Someone in the army had to rent it for you. That's how you are.
Well, I never saw John Wick 1. They paid me to watch both. So,
okay, yeah.
I believe I set the price at $25 a piece, and I had $50 like that, like Thanos sent it to me.
Yeah.
So, and it was just immediate, and I sat and watched both of them, and neither one was good.
Well, I'm telling you, we can make this happen. You know the baseline. You got tickets and food, but if you guys want to go above and beyond, we will add extra things to it, and it might have to be a whole video series or something. Like we'll film it, and we'll film something, well, not the movie, because then we'll get arrested. But we'll film some of the experience. Maybe we'll go out to dinner.
Sure, we get arrested.
Yeah, go out to, well, copyright laws. They tell you. It's like your mattress. Don't pull the tag off the mattress, Bogman. The mattress police will get you.
Off.
So we can talk about that at a later time. But John Wick 3 up for a potential review that we'll do. So I did the Fantrax Superflex mock draft, and Bogman did not. You were not a part of it.
No, I was
too busy.
You know, yeah, I was too busy.
Too
important. I was clearly asleep while this invite went out. So didn't want to be involved. It was way too early.
You afraid of social media, Bogman?
The invite went out before 10 a.m., so there was no way I was going to be awake to see it. So,
I mean, yeah,
because I'm so lazy.
You're doing a bit, but you're also like, you're not right. It did go out early. I don't know if you were out.
If it was slow, I would have done it, but it wasn't a slow mock. I don't, you know.
I actually won't lie to you. I thought it was slow, and then I had already signed up, and then I realized it was live, and I went, oh, damn it. Like, I wanted to get out of it, but no one is – it's really hard to say no to John Lobb. Like, John
– he's the nicest guy.
He's the nicest human being on the planet, and he's just lovable, and it's a problem. And I couldn't say no, and I actually forgot about it. He had to do the tweet thing. He's like, hey, the draft's about to start, and I jumped in right as it started.
But, you're like all the people in our mocks?
Yeah.
Come on.
I did.
Don't be that guy.
But it wasn't for an episode, Bogman. It was just for this. So, bunch of people in it, industry stuff. Let's see, Kate Michelle from Ball Blast.
Didn't show up? Who drafted Tyreek Hill?
Oh, it's a really funny thing that happened. I'll actually tell that. So, Florio, Pisapia, I'm in it. Some other people I don't know, but it's a really good setup. So do you want me to tell you the Tyreek Hill situation or just get into some of the breakdown?
Well, let's hear the Tyreek Hill. Okay. I see who it is. It's Chris Allen.
Well, no, he wasn't the first one. So this is the story behind Tyreek Hill. Unfortunately, Fantrax has not adjusted. I don't know anybody has adjusted with Tyreek Hill right now because no one knows what the hell's going on. But
I took him out of our slow mock that we did. I just removed him.
And that, you know what? That was smart. And that hindsight, you know, the next mock for anybody, whether John was setting up or anybody, take him out of the player pool because he was not out of the player pool. So if anyone messed around, that was going to be a problem. So we're in like round four, and I won't say the person, but they happen to be drafting near me. And I drafted 11, and the person isn't there, and then it takes them Tyreek Hill, and I think Joe and I immediately are like, "Oh, are we gonna fix this?" And I think John was like, "Let's just keep going," and we're all like, "No, don't do that. Let's stop it." So pauses the draft. Redoes the pick, the guy's back up, and he auto picks Tyreek Hill again. And we're all like, give me a break. So they go back, they redo it, the guy's back on the clock, and then Pisapia before the pick comes in goes, Tyreek Hill. The guy auto picks Tyreek Hill again. So
everybody's
like, what is going on? So then they redo the pick again, but now what ends up happening is they've taken the player off of that person, and then it comes to me, and I auto-draft, you know, who I had on my board, and we're like, what is going on? It was just a five-minute fiasco where it was like, who's on first? Because it was, John was like, he's on the team, and everyone's like, he's not on the team, and the guy, it was ridiculous. And then what ended up happening, unfortunately for Chris Allen, he ended up being the guy that he just didn't set his cue.
His internet skipped out or something.
He didn't set his cue, and then Tyreek Hill was taken in the sixth. And I think John was so traumatized, he said, we're just moving on. He's just taking Tyreek Hill. So Chris was forced to it. So, yeah, that is one of the negatives of it. And if you guys want, what did you say? It was Gridiron Scholar 91?
Yeah. It's Gridiron Scholar 91, yeah.
Okay, that's John's Twitter handle. I've retweeted it. A couple other people have. And you can see the results of the whole thing. Lots of comments on it. Essentially everybody telling about three people that they're the greatest of all time. Not one person liking my team. Not even my best friend and co-host likes my team, apparently. Apparently I'm garbage.
No, I think I like your team. So,
except apparently I take rookies. So here's my team.
You need to take three rookies.
Okay, but let me look here. I didn't take a rookie until the 10th round, and you're getting on my ass about taking rookies?
It took too many rookies.
That's ridiculous. You're ridiculous. All right. So I have the 11th pick in a super flex. Super flex is any position. So we can get quarterbacks in there. So this makes quarterbacks more valuable. So much so that three quarterbacks went in the first round. And I will tell you, Boggs, if you could have taken a look at this, who do you think the player that I wanted desperately? Because I think I had it wrong, by the way, about the Lev Bell thing. Lev Bell went much earlier. He actually went to Pisapia at 6. Who do you think the player was I wanted badly at 11?
Probably Andrew Luck.
Andrew effing Luck is who I wanted. And guess who went the pick before me to John Luck?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew goddamn Luck went. So I went with a top running back and I took James Conner. And I knew I was taking a quarterback coming back. And I was desperately hoping that one of Rodgers or Watson would be there. Sorry, my throat.
Are you dying?
I think I'm dying.
I can't even get through this. So Aaron Rodgers went the next pick. Yep. Then DeAndre Hopkins after that. So you did get Deshaun Watson to fall to you with your second
pick. I love the running quarterback.
Still dying. I even covered.
Yeah, I don't know what the.
I even talked over for you. I allowed you time to go get water, cough off mic, clear your throat, do whatever you have to do.
I think I'm good.
Mute the microphone, and you didn't do it.
So I got Deshaun Watson with my second pick. We wrap back around, and I want to double tap the exact same thing that I did. So we come back. By the time my third pick has happened, 11 quarterbacks have gone. 11 going into the second to last pick in the third round. And there are a couple, there's two that I like specifically. So knowing that Rodgers went to the other guy, I wanted one of Cam Newton or Drew Brees. So I was going to wait. And I took Dalvin Cook. So now I have a team of Connor, Cook, and Deshaun Watson. And then coming back in the fourth, I take Cam Newton. So I've now got Watson and Newton, one in the Superflex with the two running backs, which I'm extremely happy with. What do you think about this start? Because I know you're not keen on my team, and everyone else on the internet is S and D of every other person.
I actually like your team.
Yeah, but Cook, Connor, Watson, and Cam Newton.
It is a great start. Yeah. I really like, especially in Superflex, I really like this start.
So, yeah, where is the negative? I mean, I'll tell you, here's one of the teams that was getting all the DS'd. This team had Patrick Mahomes, who was taken fourth overall, Devontae Adams, Nick Chubb, and Phillip Rivers. Every human being was just fawning over this team of Mahomes, Adams, Chubb, and Rivers.
You want a spurler alert, the Welsh?
Yes.
Spurler alert. Phillip Rivers is my overrated quarterback in the Black Book.
Ooh.
Overrated. I like
that. Okay, so that person's team versus my team so far.
I like your team better.
God damn it, what you do?
Well, I like most of your team. You've always had this penchant for drafting too many rookies. But all I'm trying to do is break you of it. Okay, and you didn't do bad here. Going 10, 11, 12. One of them is going to have to start for you, right?
No. So
you
have
three wide receivers?
Yes, I do. I have three wide receivers. So after Cam Newton in the fifth round, I took Julian Edelman. Then in the sixth, I took Jarvis Landry. In the seventh, I actually skipped the wideout. I went with my third quarterback, and I thought was a steal, and I didn't get any credit for it. I took Jimmy Garoppolo. So I now got Garoppolo, Newton, and stupid Sean Watson.
A lot of teams didn't take a third quarterback, which is dumb. Because you're going to have a third quarterback for those bye weeks.
Yeah.
Or else you're just probably automatically going to lose.
And then in the eighth round, I got Philip Lindsay in the eighth round as my third running back. Behind those guys. I could not have started off any better for myself to feel comfortable. So then in the ninth round, I get Larry Fitzgerald as my third wideout.
And why did Justice Hill go ahead of Philip Lindsay?
That was a big thing in the draft. Someone was like, oh, and then there's like the guy was like, well, I really like Justice Hill. And everyone was like, maybe five rounds later. I got Philip Lindsay.
Backed them up with Mark Ingram. They double tapped. This is an end pick. He took Hill and Ingram back to back, and the only other back that he has, Darius Geis.
Yeah,
I mean, think you were the product of this team drafting terribly.
It's possible. But so my third wideout, I get Larry Fitzgerald. So now we go to the 10th round, and this is when I open up some of the rookies. I take two straight rookies in the 10th and 11th. And they are, now, to be fair, they are my fourth and fifth receivers, so they are my direct backups. I take Mecole Hardman and Paris Campbell, 10 and 11. But those, I wanted N'Keal Harry. You knew I wanted N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
Okay. Desperately wanted N'Keal Harry. But look at that right there. This is what I want. You know, I
like both those picks, too. I mean, Mecole Hardman, I got to be honest. I am surprised with all the hype going around him. He lasted till round 10.
Yeah.
So that's kind of surprising, but I like the Paris Campbell.
I got majorly sniped, though, in the ninth. I wanted Cortland Sutton like nobody's business, and he went like two picks before me. So then I took Larry, and then I wanted N'Keal Harry, and Harry went on this wheel. So I took Hardman, Paris Campbell, and then in the 12th round, it was Trey Burton. And then my last couple rounds, I took Carlos Hyde from Kansas City and then Devin Singletary. So you can't pick on me about the rookies 10, 11, and 14. With the team I got, Philip Lindsay is my top backup running back. I've got a third quarterback in Superflex. The only negative is their rookies as my direct wide receiver backups, but with, I think, some pretty tremendous upside.
I like your team. I'm just looking for teams that I like. I like your team. I like, who is this? That's Pizapia. I like Pizapia's team. I like Michael Stepney's team. And I think I like Kate Magic's team, and everybody else, I could do without. Yeah. So
Superflex.
My guy Chris, and I like Chris. I've interacted with him on Fantrax a bunch. He's the guy that got stuck with Tyreek Hill after the other dude.
We've had Chris on our show.
Great dude. Don't like this team that much. He went in a Superflex. His quarterbacks are Haskins and Mariota, and he started out with Zeke and then three wide receivers. It's just not what I'm going to do.
No, not at all.
So I don't know.
Well, when we come back, though, maybe at the top of the hour, if you want to talk any just little, I'm curious if you have any other notes about Superflex, any options or any suggestions, strategies. We'll do that. And then we got some baseball to talk about. So all you baseball seam heads, don't go anywhere. Hour 3, final hour in this league. We coming up, and no top. We're not going to do a fourth or fifth. Get out of here. I mean, you pay us, maybe, but no. Go to John Wick 3 first.